And when we did the training for the trainers, Antonia, we at the second workshop we had Poland, you actually gave out roles, didn't you? Or you asked people to volunteer for little bits of the stages. So I remember we ended up working in very small groups, and you asked someone in each group to keep time to make sure everybody was tried to keep to the 5 minutes. And then somebody took on the role of helping do the recordings because there were so many of us and there wasn't time for you to do all of them. I think that was a really key thing, that people felt involved. It felt like very much like a community, a communal activity. So it's actually a huge benefit sharing out the roles a little bit if you can. It also helps create that empathy and permission to not be an expert about something. So it is part of the process, not being the expert almost, isn't it, really? Creating that environment where people feel able to share and that it's okay not to know what they need to do is probably the key thing. And then letting people do it how they need to do it is important.
And sometimes it's also an antidote to people not feeling engaged. So there might be, especially when we work in schools, for instance, there might be young students who just get annoyed after a while. So if you give them a role, if you ask them, for instance, to do something technical for you, for the group, then it would bring them back into the process.
I actually have a question. So in our project, we are going to address to intergenerational learning. So we are going to address to both adults and the children. So how can we touch both of them, all the generation, through using storytelling, visual storytelling?
That's a great question. And so there are multiple ways of doing that. And as we said, every time we run a workshop, we should understand with the people we work with what would be the best way forward. So the easiest way of thinking about intergenerational dialogue within digital storytelling is actually to make people work in pairs. So instead of working on a personal story individually, they could work one young person with a more adult person together, so that actually the young person could take responsibility of the technical side of it and the development of the story, and being very much engaged in the video editing, the audio recording, support the other person to actually create their story, both as a first person narrative or as a dialogue. So it could be a sort of conversational storytelling in which they co-create a story together, or could be the young person acting as a listener and supporting the other person in creating the video. And therefore you would somehow create that sort of bond between the two, and you would make sure that the storyteller, the more adult person, is heard and feels to be heard by the younger person, but also realizes the beauty of working together on a piece of media that probably that person would not be able to create by themselves. Alison, have you got anything to add on that?
No, not really. No. Yeah, they may not realize the skills that they're bringing, so some reinforcement of an understanding that they both have skills. And I'm not sure how you would do that. Would you do that in the introduction, Antonia? Would you have a discussion about what each is bringing to kind of set them up for it, or do you let them discover it as they go along?
Probably I would organise a sort of icebreaker before the story cycle to, for instance, create the pairs, the couple of people that could work together by identifying common interests, common values, or something they have in common despite the age gap, for instance. So I would make it a bit playful. So in a way that is not about recognizing different skill sets, because actually you may have a more adult person that has been producing documentaries for their lives, and we assume that technology can be a barrier for that person, but actually it's not true. So the other thing is not to make assumptions before the start of a process, but making sure that we support that dialogic dimension that I think is essential in intergenerational dialogue, and trying to go beyond any barrier that actually age could somehow create, just as, subconsciously, isn't it?